Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show Summer Fun Edition. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And since it's Summer of Fun, that means that we are picking a topic that just came right off the top of our head to talk about today. Just something fun. In the olden days, you know, back in the olden days when Ewan had to chisel each bit into a stone slab and have it taken to the internet slide, we would just kind of go on a hiatus during the summers because typically there wasn't that much interesting worth talking about.
Yes. I
And
mean, it's not like Apple makes major news on a Wednesday during August every
right.
week.
Right. Like, yeah, that never happens. So what we decided to do, based on Patrice's brilliant idea that she certainly didn't steal from any other podcast network, is to do Summer of Fun. And that way we're not taking a hiatus. We all get to hang out and spend some fun time together in the summer. And so here we are. And Patrice, thank you for being so brilliant as to come up with the idea all on your own and not take it from any other podcasting network that might have already been doing a Summer of Fun thing. You are brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, I have no idea where you came up with the idea.
No, me neither. It just came to me one day a few years ago.
I'm suddenly concerned about being an accomplice.
Too late.
Way too late.
Hey, no.
Way too late. And and Chuck, I've made sure over the years at various conferences to lift your prints off of like drinking glasses and stuff. So I have a whole collection of your fingerprints that I can draw places just to make sure that you are implicated.
Oh yeah.
I don't want you to miss out on the fun.
That explains some of the emails I've been getting that I thought were spam, but apparently not.
Oh no, they're not.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Anyhow,
I'm setting up a GoFundMe for my bail based on
yes.
Jeff's activities.
That's fair.
Chuck,
I consider
Interpol
doing that before
emails
my conference.
Are real.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yep. But anyhow, Chuck, how are you?
I'm good after that. Now, maybe I should be moving to another undisclosed location.
That seems fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other than that, all is good.
Excellent. And excuse me, Ben, how are you? It's good to see you.
Well, I'm not entirely sure I'm alive, but I'm here.
Sometimes
you got to roll the hard six.
Yeah, sometimes. And yeah, Ben, when I was out sick with my bout of COVID, and I was recovered enough that I could hop on shows every now and then, I did a few shows where the next week, when I was feeling even better, I had no recollection of doing the prior week show. Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, what I'm saying is next week, I'm going to feed you loads of crap about ridiculous things that I say you did on this week's show, but maybe you did or maybe you didn't.
So it's going to be a normal week?
It'll be a normal week. Welcome back.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Ben.
Yep. Hey, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well, actually. It's been a short week for me. Yesterday off, public holiday, today off, because that's how things go in Europe usually when there's a public holiday on Thursday. Most people take the Friday off, just because I can. So haven't done too much today. Went to the hardware store to exchange something. That was it. So I'm here. That's it. Might
That's
go out
amazing.
Later today, just because I can.
That's just amazing.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. So not much else to tell you other than I've planned my vacation yesterday for September. So as always,
excellent.
I'm doing that last minute basically. I'm like, oh yeah, I wanted to do that. So I'm mid-September, I'll be in Norway, in Oslo for a couple days, like 6 days.
Nice. Yes. Nice.
Have fun in the Detroit of European vacation spots.
I don't know why it would be Detroit, but okay. It's actually a pretty beautiful city. So,
and in Detroit's defense, they
is it Detroit or Cleveland? What I was thinking of,
probably Cleveland.
Yeah,
because Detroit has been coming back, and they have museums that are really doing well. And they've been working on building up an art scene. And so, yeah, maybe you're thinking of Cleveland.
Yeah, definitely Cleveland.
Yeah. Hey,
so.
Instead of talking about cities in the United States that fell on hard times in one way or another, but have been recovering, which, boy, wouldn't that be a fun topic? We're going to talk about an entire species that fell on hard times and was trying to make a comeback. So yes, Battlestar Galactica. That's our topic today.
By your
Chuck,
command.
The look on your face was like, I didn't know where you were really going, and when you got there, I wasn't sure about the path that we had just gone down.
Yeah, did you say species or series?
Species, because it was
that's
humans.
What I thought you said. It was humans. Oh, okay. I got it. It's been a long week. It's been a long weekend.
Humans or robots? That's the question.
Yes.
Toasters. Damn toasters.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the idea is we're talking about the remake or reboot of Battlestar Galactica that ran on Sci-Fi Channel in the United States. And now is streaming on Amazon. Is that right?
That is actually a very good question.
I think it's streaming on Amazon. But
if only there was a place where you could look that up.
Yeah, right. Like Apple TV.
Right. Yeah, so
Battlestar Galactica. Let's see. Yeah,
reboot,
you're right, Amazon.
That's what I thought. Yeah, because it's a reboot, we will end up with some references to the original because, I mean, there's some places where comparisons are appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, certainly the tone was different between the two. Very
Yeah,
different.
Definitely. Very different, less trashy, more. But I mean, the trashiness, I said it in chat earlier, the trashiness of the old one was kind of iconic and kind of part of the charm of it.
But the question is it a reboot or another leg of the boot or another leg of the cycle?
Yeah, I think it's another leg. It's another leg of the cycle because there are some references even to kind of it happens after the original.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Patrice, I said this too in the pre-show that, you know, it was for all the questions that we will eventually ask about it, it was a product of 1970s network sci-fi.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You know,
it ran 78, 79. So it was not that long, but yeah.
Yeah. But just the whole, you know, the whole thing from the casting, mm-hmm. you know, right on down was, yeah. you know, yeah. it just, it it's, I mean, looking back, it's almost hard to believe that anybody could have proposed that. And then again, you look at some of the other things that were on TV at that time. I mean, and this is the industry that just insisted on dumbing everything down and, you know, people insisting that the audience was not sophisticated. And so mm-hmm. they couldn't absorb what we all see as normal today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. But let's kind of go back to the beginning here and talk about why Battlestar Galactica, the original series, existed. Well,
there's this little
movie that came out in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Little movie.
Some people might call it Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
Those are the people that got into it later.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So yeah, the whole thing of fighters in space became a big thing.
Mm.
And then some networks like, oh, let's do that. Let's do that.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, the whole thing with the fighters and like skipping around in space and like air combat and or space combat and all of that. Yeah, that's kind of, you're right. It's kind of the thing here. And I mean, it's also a Cold War era. So don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's very clear and obvious that like the machines, the toasters, are kind of the Soviets.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, machines designed by extinct lizard people.
Yes.
Right. And
maybe.
and when sci-fi rebooted the series, they clearly wanted to update it in a way where it was more sophisticated and more approachable to a modern audience.
Yeah. More sophisticated, but also have a deeper meaning like behind it. So that's one of the key things. That it is not just, hey, let's do the same thing again, or let's modernize it a little bit, but let's like keep it. No, it was also, there's a deeper theme that runs through the show.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And it's not as easy as good or evil and all of that.
Which the first series was white hat, black cat, good guys, bad guys.
Yes.
And not so in the new series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also think of the cinematography that was in the rebooted series. I mean, it was so much more modern. It was so, I'm not going to say cutting edge because I don't remember exactly where everything fell, but it was approaching that, you know, and of course, needless to say, the effects were light years better.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, they did, some camera things that at that time weren't normal for a TV show.
Yes.
Like having it feel more like a handheld camera and like someone is actually tracking you, almost like there's someone on location filming for a documentary.
Yeah.
Then we see that show up in other shows later on.
Was that about the time that the Blair Witch Project came out?
That's a good question. If only we had a way
to look that up.
To look that up.
Like, because you mentioned like the transition or the two shows, as far as I remember, the rebooted show or the new show, Battlestar Galactica, directly connected to the old. Because they basically said, it was like after the Cylon Wars. They had everything had kind of died down. They were kind of in friendly terms. They were meeting up, and that's where it starts, like the meeting on the space station, and that was supposed to happen every year and the start of the next attack, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and in the launch bay on Galactica that is being set up as a museum exhibit.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
The original Cylon armor. They have diagrams of the old base stars and the old Cylon Raider.
Yep. They have old ships and like old fighters and everything. Like, it was supposed to be, as you said, a museum, and that's how it starts. And that's the whole pilot that they shot actually separately. So the pilot came first, and then they got the green light, and then they shot the whole thing. Which there's some funny stories that came out of that. I don't know if you remember the books and the papers and everything has a cut corner. Like, it looks kind of sci-fi, but it was kind of a metaphor. It's like they literally, for the pilot, had to cut corners. So that's kind of their way of saying, hey, we had to cut corners in the show.
Oh, that's funny.
And it looked cool. But then it became a major pain in the butt at the end because they had to do that for the entirety of the show. Every single book, every single piece of paper, every little bit they had to cut. So that was it got really annoying over time.
That's kind of funny. I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah. There you go.
So a joke in the pilot kind of turned out to be a major drain on like on the people and the resources eventually.
That's funny.
I don't know how to hijack the conversation too much, but there was one other thing I think that was interesting for both series, mm-hmm. and that was the casting of at least one of the major leads. That in the original series, you had Lorne Greene, who was Mr. Bonanza, you know, Mr. Western, uh-huh. and it just seems so out of place to see him in a sci-fi series. Mm-hmm. And then you had Edward James Olmos, who had been Miami Vice in mm-hmm. a very, very, very quirky kind of character. And some of the quirk carried over a little bit to the Battlestar Galactica character. But it just, again, it was like, this seems... It just felt like the world was off its axis a little bit on when you started to watch both series for that reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yes, but also no on Edward James Olmos for me. And that's because the first time I saw Edward James Olmos in anything was Blade Runner.
Yeah.
So he was a sci-fi actor first for me.
Holy cow, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, who played one of the weirdest characters to ever be in a movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that character is just messed up weird. Yeah. Like, you're trying to figure out what were they on? What drugs, recreational drugs, were they taking when they did that character? But then I realized, it's a Philip K. Dick character.
Yeah,
and that explains all of the drugs right there.
Yeah.
See, and for me, the casting of Edward James Olmos, it didn't feel weird. For me it felt very natural. Like the way, I mean, the type of person he is, like a basically close to retirement person, like very settled, very mm-hmm. quiet and calm, and kind of he will run a museum for the next couple of years. That's the beginning, right? So for me, and that was him, and I think throughout the show, that is kind of him. He's kind of that grounding character that keeps mm-hmm. things when it's chaos everywhere. He kind of keeps everything together and quiet so that they can get through it. For me, Jamie Bamber as Adama was actually the little bit crazier casting because I didn't think he would fit. And then, like, when you watch the entire show, you realize I think that was on purpose. He didn't fit.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to fit.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you go through the process, you always find out that, you know, they say some things skip a generation.
Mm-hmm.
Lee was always a lot more like Joe Adama.
Yes.
Than he ever was Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly.
But, Joe Adama, you're making a reference to Caprica.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, he's mentioned a lot in the reboot series.
He is. Yeah, I mean, also James Callis as Gaius Baltar, like also very from the beginning. I mean, you know something is wrong with him. Yeah. Like you just have a feeling.
And I think that might have been my favorite casting in the show because in the original series, Baltar was flat out evil.
Yes.
Yes.
Which he wasn't in this show, and he had a really good ending. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely no redeemable qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this, I mean, Baltar is morally gray.
Yeah.
And usually acts in his own self interest, but he grows.
I don't think he's really morally gray. I think he thinks about morals too much.
Yeah.
He was always mostly he made the wrong decision for sometimes from his perspective the right reasons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that is kind of that like he wanted to do like when the show starts, he was a politician. He wanted to like move up the ranks.
Well, I mean,
and there was this beautiful woman that is kind of flattering him, and he wanted to use the connections that she had to like get ahead. It's morally, I would say, still okay, but it was in hindsight completely the wrong decision because the things that he did to get ahead basically killed millions, billions of people. And that kind of continues over time. And the arc from it, I think his arc is actually probably the one of the most interesting one, because he goes from that slimy politician to actually a decent person at the end.
Yeah. And I mean,
with a past, but a decent person.
Yeah. And his, his arc is an exact mirror of his soulmate, Caprica Six.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually one of the, for me, almost the Cylons were more interesting in the show, because they also go through a quite very interesting arc. They go from like you perceiving them as the evil, they killed everybody, to, well, yeah, they made those decisions, and there are people in within the ranks that killed and made that decision. But there's also good people, and it's kind of like mirroring humans. Like there's people who go to war, like Russia, for example, like some people. Yeah. But there's also a lot of other people that try to prevent it and try to do good. And so they're humans at the end.
Yeah, and at the very end, a good portion of the Cylons knew what they did was wrong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And really integrate with the humans.
Yeah. I mean, turned out to be, at the end of the day, they became humans. So it's one of the twists that in the final episode that they turned out to be us, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other part about it, you know, why the humanoid Cylons were basically lobotomizing the mechanical models. The humans basically set them free.
They did. Well, the humans and the humanoid Cylons did together.
In the good Cylons.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's true. The good Cylons.
Yeah,
so it's as I said, for me, I think throughout everything, the arc of the characters, the arc of the people is super interesting, because they go from one thing to another through the journey, and I think that's the whole story that's there already.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's just seeing two sides. I mean, other than Cavill / number one, there really aren't villains, but even the good guys get a lot dirty.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. They do. They have to make decisions, like the whole new Caprica era, where some did make very questionable but very understandable decisions under the occupation. And even the resistance, they killed people, they killed humans.
Mm-hmm.
So you can question that. And I think that's why I think they ultimately decided not to pursue, I think, other than Baltar, basically not to pursue anybody for like, it just wasn't going to work. I mean, they had so few humans anyway. So, that's true. Even Cavill. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, there's no redeeming qualities, but there are aspects that we discover about how he ended up where he ended up, that I'm like, I can see like humans have gone that way and have like done that, and I can understand how you could get there, even though it is very clearly the wrong path.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing about Cavill. He did what he wanted. He did because he wanted to be a machine, but ultimately he might have been the most human of them all.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Completely flawed. Like, flawed human being in all aspects, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which got him killed at the end. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Katie Sackhoff as Starbuck, Cara Thrace.
I was just about to bring that up.
Very interesting arc. Like, if you think about it, I mean, she dies in between. Like, huge spoilers for the show. I just think it's like spoiler horn for the entire show. She dies somewhere in between, actually, towards the end. And it turns out she kind of was an angel or something. We don't know exactly. It's never clear what she really was, but she was she was there for a reason.
Yeah, because I mean, technically, it might have even been she might have. Katie Sackhoff might have actually played two different characters.
Yeah, I think she kind of did, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
There is a difference between those two.
Yeah, because I mean, if you look at Angel Baltar and Angel Six, it's made very clear that they are different people.
Yes.
Than Guys Baltar and Caprica Six.
Yes and no. I think yes in a sense due to circumstance, but I think not really.
I'm with you on that one, Patrice.
Yeah, I think they're still fundamentally the same. They just had different circumstances, and I mean the angel parts basically influenced each other to kind of guide them in the right direction at the end.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the big difference I see for Caprica Six and Baltar at the end, the very end, when we see them as Ben said, the angel versions.
Yeah.
They have awareness. They understand the big picture. They see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were floundering through their lives during the Exodus, the hunt for Earth, they didn't have all of that information. And so they had to
I think the angel sides, I mean, that they actually did, but they knew that they had to go through all of that to get to where they needed to be at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big difference. I mean, that's actually also a very, very interesting arc. Like, it starts out with Baltar, kind of, we think he's gone crazy. He's imagining basically Trisha Helfer as Caprica Dark Six or Angel Six, whatever you want to call it.
Frankly, I can understand that.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but I mean, he also, like, it looks like, and he questions his sanity for a long time, and he's kind of going crazy, and like, he's seeing another person interacting with them and whatever, and he's completely gone crazy. And then we learn later that the Six, or one of the Sixes, had the same thing happen, but with basically the Baltar version. So, and then there is very much at the end, they talk to each other because they fall in love and whatever, and they realize that, wait, you can see them too. And that's the point where you realize they were not crazy.
Yeah, which that was my favorite moment of the show. They look at each other. You can see them?
Yeah.
You can see, you can see them?
And that end, and that's why I said Baltar's story is very interesting, because, I mean, that's also the time when he turns from playing politics, doing the wrong things, to really fighting for the good side and fighting for what he believes in.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally picks up a gun, even though he has zero skills, and fights.
Yeah, he literally flips someone the switch who was from very selfish to selfless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. What Jeff said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to circle back just to a second to the casting of Starbuck. Because
and Chuck, it's like you're reading my mind.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Because, you know, again, you come to this with a certain set of expectations, and at least I did, you know, having watched the original Battlestar Galactica. Mm-hmm. So things were a little bit off. Things, you know, I mean, if you were just picking it up and running with it, which you did at first, it's like, okay, all of a sudden, Starbuck is a female. But there were parts of the old Starbuck, but not as much. It was a lot grittier. It was a lot, you know, of course, the whole series was grittier.
Yeah. Less like the gigolo type that was the original Starbuck.
Well, okay. If that's fine. I'll accept that as a description. But just that's one reason I think the whole thing was so good in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
It brought you into a similar universe, but almost like an alternative to the one you'd been in.
Yeah.
And, you know, and because you can talk about the continuation, was it a continuation or not? But you see a lot of the same names, and yet they were different people, different roles. I really, really just appreciated that fact, because I like series like that you don't just pick up and you're being force-fed things. And the casting, I mean, this series did that from the beginning in so many ways, including the casting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so true. I mean, the whole thing of, I mean, over time, we discover, and they made it, it was a mystery for a long time. We discovered, one, that they were humanoid. Well, actually, we knew that from the beginning to some extent, but we discovered that there were a lot of humanoid, Cylons. Mm-hmm. And that there were different models, and that even within the models, they had different personalities, and things like that. And so that means that the same actor, the same actress, played different versions of the same character, and that's super interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
kind of kept it fresh as well. And I mean, and then you discover, hey, amongst the humans, there's also Cylons that we didn't know of. We thought they were the most human. The most human humans that we could even imagine.
Yeah.
Turns out that's not true.
And then the identity crisis those Cylons had when they discovered who they actually were was really
indistinguishable from humans, like all of it, like thoughts, everything. They like nobody could figure that out.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is part of that. Boomer's arc.
Yes.
The second part of that
I like her.
Really frustrated me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think from, you know, her first episode when she re-downloads, you know, Boomer is going to go help the humans.
Yeah. Because, well, and then she kind of does, but she doesn't.
Well, I mean, she redeems herself at the end.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before Athena, you know, does her mother thing.
I mean, that's also that character was a little bit frustrating, that's true, at times, but I think it also worked really well because it facilitated kind of the conflict that also existed within models, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they didn't agree. I mean, fundamentally, I think they were the breaking vote, like in one or two like episodes.
Yeah,
where there was a divide. I mean, that led to a civil war basically amongst the Cylons, and the split was on the Boomers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. But at first blush, The right out of the gate, when Boomer and Starbuck were cast as women, I felt like, oh God, this is going to be politically correct. And it turned out to be not
the opposite.
It turned out to be completely the opposite. It turned out to absolutely work. And and I, you know, that was great because, again, look at the time that we're talking about when this was made, just like we're talking about the original one. Look at the time when this was made. Roles were being redefined. And so, you know, and there were things that were being broadcast that were purely gratuitous from a casting standpoint. And this turned out, I was concerned about it. And, you know, it was a turnoff for the first few episodes until those characters got developed. And then, and after that, you never gave it a second thought.
And I never had the problem with that. I mean, for me, I know a lot of the, I mean, I remember the backlash in the beginning, like beginning of BSG, when people were like, oh, why is she like a woman? She's supposed to be a man, blah, 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 all of that. For me, the original cast, I think also due to the time when it was recorded, like broadcast, was way too heavy on the men. Like it was, I mean, there was barely a woman in the cast.
Of course.
Here we had characters.
Yeah. Yeah, the most well-known woman in that cast character in the cast was Cassiopeia, I say this lightly?
Eye candy.
Not only eye candy, but her original
She was
role,
a sex worker.
Yes.
Pilot. But then when she's in the next episode she's in, she's not a sex worker. They retconned her into a nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which also was a very female role for the 70s. Mm-hmm.
That's and, true.
But at the same
See
time,
Star Trek.
Yeah, they were pushing the envelope in the best way that they were capable of doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they started having female fighter pilots, and they introduced that saying, well, we have a very limited number of humans and we need more pilots. And so they started having female pilots.
Yeah.
So they introduced it in a way that was at the time more palatable to that mm-hmm. audience. But at the same time, I think Glenn Larson knew that he wanted to have women in stronger roles in these shows, but he had to work within the constraints of what was allowed at the time.
Yeah.
Speaking of sure. some of those casting choices from that first series, carrying that over into the Sci-Fi Channel version, Richard mm-hmm. Hatch playing Tom yeah. Zarek. I thought that
oh
was
my
brilliant.
God, he was so good.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was the only one, right? As far as I know.
As far as I know, he's the only one. He was also vocal against doing the reboot. Mm-hmm. And then when he saw what they were doing, he said, you know what? I was wrong.
Yeah.
And then they said, we've got a role we think you would like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic role, and he was wonderful.
It was a fantastic role. I mean, he went from basically prisoner
to a terrorist in
president.
Prison.
Yeah, mm-hmm. president. To basically got executed at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
for the things they've done as a president.
Hatch, yeah. Not only was he against the reboot at the beginning, he had made an unsuccessful attempt to make a continuation of the original series.
Mm-hmm.
That's
to the point where there was actually test footage of him as mm-hmm. Commander Apollo.
Oh, I didn't know they had done test footage.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Interesting.
I want to go back to one character that I absolutely detested on the original series, and that was that stupid little mechanical teddy bear.
And thankfully, it's not around.
And
no, it was not. They didn't have anything like it at all.
I know. And if you need any evidence of 70s network sci-fi, that was it.
Yeah,
that's it's true. Just, yeah. What was it? Boxy, I think.
Boxy was the boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, that was the boy.
Was the Daggett.
True.
And his Daggett was killed during the Cylon attack on Caprica. So they built a robot Daggett for Boxy.
Yeah,
and
by the way, getting rid of Boxy from the show, the Reimagined series, as soon as possible was the best choice they ever made.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They had nothing even compared to it. Like,
yeah.
Well, they had Boxy. In a
they
few
did,
of
but
the
then about, they
early
forgot
episodes
about him halfway through the first season.
Yeah, but I liked what they did with the Boxy character in the new series, and the fact that he just disappears at one point, you never see this or hear about this character again, and I mm-hmm. didn't even think about it until later on, tells you how important it was to keep that character around. But it was fun to have this kid that would sit there and talk smack to the XO and just hang
sure.
out in the break room playing mm-hmm. poker. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was fun, but at the same time, I was totally fine with that character going away.
Yeah. I feel like Trek kind of did it too. But they at that time they kept trying to force a child actor into, I guess, was to appeal to the kids. That's the only logic I can ever find.
You don't want your kids watching that show.
Well, no, but but the idea that we're going to try to pull this in, and it just never worked. I mean,
well, the problem in that case was they had absolutely no idea how to write the character.
Yeah,
and So they just wrote it poorly. And they wrote it so poorly that they would write poorly for the other actors who would be in the same scene with Wesley Crusher. And that's where you get lines that are like so horribly out of character and inappropriate, like Captain Picard turning to Wesley Crusher on the bridge and saying, "Shut up, Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley."
Yeah.
Which is a line that to this day Patrick Stewart says that he hates that line.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have been there.
Yeah. But they force the character in and then like you say, they had to write around it in some way to make it work. And I think they
made it work. They just didn't know how to write a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't in the '80s either. Like, so
it took
a while for that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
there is another aspect that I wanted to mention. It's okay. There's a whole in the new, especially in the old one, it's not, at least from my memory. I mean, it's been, I don't know, 30 something years probably that I've seen it. There's one aspect that's super interesting in the new one, and that goes from almost the beginning to the end, and that's the whole, I don't know what to call it, mysticism almost.
Yeah.
I mean, the visions what about the opera house.
Will happen again.
Yes. That there is someone out there who seems to be directing things.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole, I mean, there's episodes where like there is imaginary things happening. They're envisioning things. Like I said, the whole opera house scene. I mean, like the president, Laura Roslin. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. She's on drugs part of the time because of her cancer. And I mean, she has visions. Full on mm-hmm. visions. And the visions are, just turn out to be helpful and true and show a past that has happened. I mean, turns out later, well, we know why, but that was like the whole, I said, mysticism and the whole premise of the show is, as Ben said, it has happened before and it will happen again. Everything is circles,
which is why I say the original series was a continuation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of an alternative universe,
yeah.
that mm-hmm. literally everything that happened before will happen again, and that the 77 BSG is either before or after new BSG in the time.
Before. It's before. As I said, they referenced that in the beginning, so it is before.
I mean, they had a Cylon war with similar stuff, but the events of the series don't actually happen in that first Cylon war.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know how many wars there have been, like because everything's circled. So,
yeah.
I mean, that for me is the final episode is super emotional for me. I mean, I was so invested in the characters. I was so invested in the whole story. I knew it was ending, and there were so many, like, I mean, the whole. Adama Roslin scene when she basically dies with flying over like landscape and he's mm-hmm. just with her
or
stuff like that. I mean, I'm tearing up right now because it was so emotional.
Yep. Or I mean, Adama saying goodbye to Galactica.
Literally, exactly.
I mean, literally he had known that ship since he was fresh out of the academy recruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, Adama and the goodbye between Adama and Kara Thrace Starbuck, mm-hmm. where she literally, like, he was thinking about like what's going to happen in the future and whatever, and she literally disappears. And he's okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the literally the final scene when they gave basically jump to modern day
now
in 2009 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
and the technology development that we've had, and we have started to work on robots and whatever, and we see We see Trisha Helfer and James Callis again as Baltar, or as Angel, the Angels, basically. And they're saying, like, we've seen this before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she says, maybe. And then I think she says, well, maybe this time is different.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite part of that was when they're talking about God, you know, he doesn't like to be called that.
But that's mm-hmm. she. No, they say she doesn't like to be called that. Yeah.
Patricia, right. It was, yeah. I don't know about you, but there are times that I'm kind of waiting for a series to end, you know, okay, so let's get it wrapped up and, you know, and then move on. And this one was one I was sorry to see go because it had been, it had its high points. It had its maybe not so high points. I don't know that I ever recall any low points. It just had
episodes I was like, okay.
Well, yeah, but they all sort of advanced the story. You know, I didn't feel like there were very many filler episodes. And
that's true.
So that's what speaks highly. And it makes me, especially this discussion, makes me want to go back and do a rewatch. Like I have time to do a rewatch. But
I do that every couple of years.
Yeah, it was so well done that, you know, it's, if you haven't done it, if anybody's listening, frankly, I'm not even sure we could spoil too many things because it is complex. So it's not something you put on in the background and watch and feel like you're going to be able to appreciate it. You have to pay attention.
Exactly. Yes. And there's so many layers and so many like nuanced meanings of what's happening. And for like us as like consumers, as like people in our current world, even to this day, I mean, this show like wrapped up 2009. It's been 15 years. And I still think it is very apropos, very modern, almost. So
I want to bring up one other thing that was, in my opinion, was so well done because it made me cringe every time it came on. And that was the press conferences.
Yeah.
Oh, they were awesome.
The press conferences were done so well.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
They hurt.
Yes.
which was the point.
Exactly, Jeff. Exactly.
Yeah.
They
hurt. Just like real life, nobody wanted to do them, but they had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole politics part of it was, I mean, that was one of the things I remember on the original show, that it was kind of hard to get through sometimes. In this, it actually, I felt it was quite relevant. Like the fight going on in the background.
Absolutely. The what do we say? How do we say it? You know, how's the press going to twist it or present it? Sorry. May have been out there.
I mean, no, that was the thing because they were concerned about how things would be presented, but also how it would be twisted to serve whatever purpose.
Whatever narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that never happens in today's world.
No.
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 Never.
No.
But I also want to talk about one little thing that kind Admiral of the Kane. Whole press brought up here.
Oh.
The character of Billy and so many others that we fell in love with in the miniseries that they had absolutely no qualms about killing off in the most horrible way possible. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And not just in season finales, characters could die at any time.
Yeah. Die, come back sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing with no character was so sacred that they couldn't die.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the impression we were given.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it really upped the emotional stakes in watching the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, there were some major characters that died, came and then came back. I mean, Starbuck, like first and foremost. Mm-hmm. That was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really gone for a little while before she came back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just top. I think I'm with Chuck. I do not remember too many really bad episodes, and it was. I mean, as you said, it's always moving ahead, because that's the whole thing. Like, they started Caprica,
yeah,
or the colonies basically, and they ended on Earth, and the rest, everything in between, is a journey.
Yeah,
trying to get to Earth. That's the whole premise of the show. They're always moving forward. They don't always know which direction, and they might do twists and turns, but they're always moving towards that goal.
Yeah, it felt like they took a page out of Straczynski's playbook and mapped out a general storyline from beginning to end.
Yeah,
they did.
Because it did feel very cohesive all the way through.
But they didn't include Zaphros, and that and that is a major no-no.
A major no-no. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
Ben, I gotta just jump in here. Ben, I think you were the one that said Commander Kane or Admiral Kane. And both Kanes in both series were, in my opinion, terrific characters.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, Lloyd Bridges, again, we're have this weird casting that just in the 70s that came out of nowhere and it worked.
Yeah,
and
it
then,
really worked. Yeah.
And then
yeah,
they flipped it, you know, again in the reboot, and it was just as good, maybe even better.
Yeah. I loved Michelle Forbes as Kane.
Yeah. Cause I mean, the funny thing.
Yeah. Me too.
With OG Kane, I mean, Lloyd Bridges was the funny man who absolutely pulled off gravitas. At the same time, Helena Kane was quite possibly the most Michelle Forbes character you could ever think of.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, she owned that character. And she was fantastic as Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another character in the entire show that we are forgetting. And that's the ship itself. I mean, it's literally the name of the show is Battlestar Galactica. So it's about the people, but it is actually in the reboot, at least, it is a character in itself. And it has it ages, it aches, it like goes through things, and at the end it dies. Literally.
That's
and
true.
The,
yeah.
the heartbreak mm-hmm. to the heartbreak of the people that served on it and I think connected with it. It was their home and it dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
literally,
that's true.
Broken back at the end.
Yes, that was a line. Like, the last jump Galactica makes, we see it come out of the jump, and the ship kind of buckles a little bit, and you see atmosphere escaping, and then you hear Colonel Ty telling Adama, she won't jump again.
Yeah,
she
wherever we are,
back.
Yeah, wherever we are, this is where we're staying, like literally, and like it broke her back. Getting them to the end and getting them to Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole Moses thing, but in ship form.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. So she
she
is a character in the whole thing, kind of.
So what I haven't heard any real criticisms of the originals of the reboot and a few of the original series, but mainly because of the time and who was running the show. We didn't have showrunners back then, but
it was a Glenn Larson series, and it was clearly a Glenn Larson series you were watching.
Yes.
Yeah. If it wouldn't have been any more of a Glenn Larson series, Kit would have showed up.
Right.
But again, you know, but again,
yes,
you know, but again, network TV in that era, you know, for any genre shows, it's just they just could never seem to quite get it right.
I agree. I think that's a product of the times and a limitation of the technologies that were available to them. And when you put what our society was at the time, what network executives or who network executives were back then.
Yeah.
And then limitations in special effects technology.
Yeah.
Put that together and we have that old Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that they suffered from bad writing at times. I mean, to compare to the reboot, they were, I mean, especially towards the end, there were some real bad episodes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of 80, except for one episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically, once they reached what they thought was Earth, it got really bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never really thought about it in exactly these terms until right now. But looking at this, it makes me happy that the second version of Star Trek was never got off the ground, because it makes me concerned that it would have torn the franchise apart and we would have mm-hmm. never gotten TNG and then moved on.
Well, I mean, technically you had the pilot of Star Trek Series 2.
Yeah, that's the motion picture.
Or phase two, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, to a point, but you still... Okay, I'll give you that. But it didn't suffer the way the original Battlestar Galactica did.
Yeah.
You can say it's an art piece more than anything, but it did not suffer from, you know, annoying children and mechanical devices and, you know, just completely one-dimensional characters.
Yeah. Well, so in one sense, you could say that Star Wars actually saved Star Trek, because they pivoted to making a movie instead of a series after the success of Star Trek or Star Wars.
Of Star Wars.
Yeah.
True. True.
Yeah.
True. And, so
yeah. And judging by TMP, let's put it this way, it might have been it might have been the most TNG movie, but it was, or TOS movie, but it was also quite possibly it's remembered for being long and boring.
Yes, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I almost said it's the worst movie, but it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that is Star Trek V, The Search for God.
Or the very last one, Nemesis.
Ooh,
yeah, Iron Nemesis. Quantum Torpedoes.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There were some.
that was a pretty poor movie. You know what's
not
poor?
But either way, like
TSO host.
That's right. TSO host is pretty awesome because they offer great web hosting and they make it easy for you to buy domain names, and they're reliable and great customer support and good pricing. And what they're doing is they're taking all those things and they're using that to support us. And they decided they wanted to do something cool for the community. And they're doing that by giving us the bandwidth to live stream shows every single week, giving us web hosting space, so there's a place for the website, and giving us server space, so all of the show recordings are available to you whenever you want to watch or listen. Putting all those resources together, that's a lot. And it's a lot more than we would be able to make happen on our own. So TSO hosts supporting us, when I say we're here because of their support, that's not an exaggeration. That's the truth. Without their generous support, we would not be able to do all the things we do. So we really, really appreciate TSO hosts. And thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting us. And what would be awesome is if all of you would hop on social media and thank TSO hosts for supporting us as well. Just let them know you appreciate what they're doing. It's a great way to let them know that you appreciate what they're doing. It's also a great way to let them know that that we all love that we can be here, and that they are part of that. So please go give them some online love. Just thank TSO hosts for supporting British Tech Network. That's all you have to do. I did mention that they make it easy to buy domain names and they have good pricing. So if you're in the market for a domain name and you found that, you throw it in your cart. Then if you need web hosting, go ahead and throw that in too. Why not? But then add in the discount code BTN20. And that'll get you an extra 20% off your order. So you have good pricing already, but then you get a 20% discount just because you are part of the BTN family. So thank you again, Tioso Hosts, for being here and supporting us. And instead of me just going through everything, which, by the way, I can do now because Patrice took all the effort to modernize our streaming and live chat system. So even I can wrap my head around it and talk about it. But Patrice, do you mind talking about that? You know, we'll kind of mix it up a little bit.
You know, because I haven't talked already a lot.
Because you've been so quiet through the whole show today.
Yeah, totally. That's people who know me for being quiet all the time. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, I can talk. Exactly. I mean, I do remember a time circa 2012 where there was like a Google Hangout with, I think, the Tour crew. My very, very first I did with people in US, where I think I said like one sentence the entire 2 hours. But that was a long time ago.
But it was an important sentence, I bet.
Probably not. So, yeah, anyway, live chat. We have a really cool live chat system, a live stream system, actually. So when we are recording these shows, it's Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, where we talk usually. It's not Summer of Fun, and I think for the rest of this month, at least, we'll continue Summer of Fun. I usually continue doing so until Apple has their September event, which is going to happen in the next 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
3-4 weeks probably. Then we record, usually we talk about Apple things, but right now it's Summer Fun. And all you have to do is head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com in your browser of choice. And there is the live stream, 4 p.m. UK time. So whatever that is in your time zone. By the way, big show where we yesterday talked about Mythbusters. Talked a little bit about that in the pre-show as well of this show. Jeff and I did a really interesting review, rewatch, talk, whatever you want to call it, of Mythbusters. Big show, 7 p.m. UK time on Thursdays. And that's where we would talk about the non-Apple side of tech news and space and computers and chips and cars and whatever. Gaming, all of that. And on that very page, on the right-hand side or below it, if you're on your smartphone, on your mobile phone, is a live chat. Literally just click on there, start talking. Super easy. It auto-generates a really fun name for you, like Bob Beach was the romantic Feynman. And then you can rename.
That actually sounds like a good band name.
That was actually a really good band name. But you can just click, whatever, on the little purple thing up top, and then change your name. So it's not a problem, and it should remember that for the next time. You can also authenticate with your Fediverse account, and then it's permanent. It's your name, and you get a little checkbox next to your name. So that's how easy that is. And if you want to see the links to the things that we've talked about in the show, during the show, in the chat, or whatever we talked about in the chat, not just links. For example, we put in IMDb links for the original Battlestar Galactica, for the new Battlestar Galactica, and also for where you can stream. Just watch where you can stream Battlestar Galactica, at least the new one. There is a page on britishtechnetwork.com/chat where you tell the calendar what date you would like to see the transcript for. And for today, that would be August 16th, 2024. And if you put that in, you will see what we talked about on that very particular, very fun day.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. And now that we've done that, it's time to wrap up.
So say we all.
So say we all. Yep. So we'll wrap up. We'll all go start rewatching Battlestar Galactica again.
We are such geeks. We really are.
Oh, we are. I mean, that was never in doubt.
So I'm partway through season one now.
Oh, and, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, Chuck, where can people find you?
You can find me at macvoices.com. That's where I talk to lots of interesting people about technology and with an Apple focus, shall we say. And on Tuesday nights, you can find Ben and Jeff and occasionally Patrice live on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV, where we do Mac Voices Live. That's always a lot of fun. It's one of my favorite things during the week because it's serious and it's fun, and we just enjoy each other's company and arguing and sharing our viewpoints, which usually we seldom disagree, which we seldom agree on. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome. And Ben, how about you? Where can people find you?
Well, these days you can find me mostly asleep.
Yeah.
You can also find me on the aforementioned Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner, that guy in the polo. You can find me sometimes on the show of the guy who's playing hooky, Mr. Dave Ginsburg, aka In Touch with iOS. You can find me here Thursday and Fridays on the British Tech Network and on the social medias. You can find me at Ben Rathig.
Awesome. All right. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here on this very show, on this very network, every Friday on the Mac Show, every Thursday on the Big Show, except for the times I'm traveling. You can find out everything that I'm doing, all the social media links, the projects, the podcasts, literally everything, on my website, thepatrice.com. And since we were talking about it kind of already, and where this idea came from, is Jeff and I have a really cool podcast where we rewatch retro shows, shows that usually Jeff hasn't seen yet, and I've watched a million times. Like what we're rewatching right now is Stargate SG-1. We're in the middle of season one. I think we posted episode, I want to say 6, the other week.
I'm pretty sure it was episode six.
It was episode 6. So episode 7 coming up next week. And it's a lot of fun. So we have a lot of thoughts, and we're only getting started with the show. So it's really interesting to do that. So if you want to hear more about TV shows and go way deeper than what we could do with Battlestar Galactica today, then that's the show for you.
Awesome. All right. Then for me, social media, I'm Jay Gamet on pretty much everything. I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. And then for shows, this is going to sound really familiar. Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network, The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and as Patrice said, Patrice and I are doing Retro Rewatch. I think that's all the shows I'm doing regularly right now. Hopefully, I didn't miss anything. All right, so with that, thank you to the three of you. This has been so much fun, and I know we could have gone for hours talking about this if... Well, except for Ben, who has to go take a nap now.
Yeah.
But after your nap, you would have hopped right back in, I have no doubt.
This is true.
Yeah. This has been a lot of fun. I'm glad we're doing Summer of Fun. Patrice, thank you for suggesting that this become part of our routine. Seriously, thank you to the three of you. This has been just a wonderful way to kick off my Friday. And everyone that's watching and listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here as well. I'm so glad that you were along for the ride. If you are watching or listening to the show later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And hey, Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And Tioso host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And join us next Thursday for The Big Show. And then come back again on Friday for the Mac show. We'll still be doing Summer of Fun. And that pretty much wraps it up. So everyone have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week.